The Lord be with each of you. I really thank you for being here on this rainy morning. It's Pentecost Sunday, which we celebrate the anointing of the tongues of fire. Today it's the tongues of water. Really blessed that we're together in worship. I know there's a lot of things you could be doing on a Sunday morning in Austin. So may your intention to be here come back to you as a blessing. Especially if you're visiting for the first time, I'd love to meet you afterward, after the service. And there's also a welcome table located just on the other side of the bridge, and someone will be there to answer any questions you may have and provide you with some literature of the church. Just a couple announcements. Most of all of this will be in your inserts, and I encourage you to peruse those at another time. We have three offerings each year on Introduction to Centering Prayer, which is our chosen method of meditation, meditative prayer. And we do an Intro to Centering Prayer class that's coming up starting Saturday, June 2nd. So please call the office if you're interested in learning more about centering prayer and take that class. You won't regret it. Also, next Sunday is the Hyped Youth Spaghetti fundraiser, annual fundraiser. So let's all feast after church on spaghetti. You will need to buy tickets. So tickets are being sold today after service. You can also call the church office if you don't get tickets today. Ideally, we like to get as many tickets this morning so that there's not a big line next Sunday. Anyway, all those funds go to support our youth trip to Lama, which they're coming up to in early June. And as a part of that, Sherry, if you don't mind standing, is the point person. It's been the tradition here for people to make donations of things that gently, lightly used items that you don't want or need, that maybe you take to Goodwill, or services that you can do as a way of auctioning. We fundraise this way for the youth. So Sherry's our point person. Please just connect with her or connect with the church, and that would be really helpful. That's all the announcements I have. Again, thank you for being here on this Pentecost Sunday. Actually, I have another announcement, and that is today is Baptism Sunday, and because of the weather, we do baptisms outside in a creek in Pflugerville, and we're needing to cancel today's baptism, unfortunately. Our dear ones are here. We'll reschedule that for a date soon to be announced. Not too far off in the distance. So we hold that moment in our hearts with you today. Let's take a moment in the silence to prepare us. What is it that you need to hear today? What do you want from this worship service? May the beauty of this sanctuary, the sacredness of the rain, the gift of silence, scripture, and sacrament give to you and each of us what our heart most desires. Amen.
Please join us in invoking the Holy Spirit with our song, Come and Pray in Us, Holy Spirit.
Come and pray in us.
Let's stand and join in singing the gospel in One Word is Love. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Mother, Father, giver of this and every moment, we feel the gift of love that is occurring in our community in this moment, and we ask that it would extend and spread to the moments of our daily life, that you would fill us with your loving spirit, that we would be containers of that love and share it with our friends and family, our communities, our colleagues. This world is in need of the touch of your love and its peace, and we ask that we would be the ones who convey that by being held in your center. And we ask for the grace of wisdom and healing and understanding to deal with those things that are questions and those places in our lives that need healing and peace. Bless us in this service, Lord. We're here asking, so give us what we need. In your most holy threefold name I pray, transcendent Father, omnipresent Son, immanent indwelling Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
So please join with me in listening for God's Word. Our reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 16. I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will speak not on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and to love. Amen.
Last afternoon, we recorded the royal wedding and watched it. Did anyone else watch the royal wedding? Okay, we're not alone then. It's something I normally wouldn't do. But I'm actually really, really grateful I did. And I encourage you, if you haven't seen it, to see especially the sermon. Because what I felt as I listened to that, in that Gothic structure, that ancient Windsor Castle Chapel was the Holy Spirit of God coming in to the power brokers and the leaders of this world who run the A influences, who run the levers of power. What I heard is a minister in the tradition of Martin Luther King Jr., in the tradition of Wilbur Wilberforce, the great preacher of abolition who really helped end slavery in England a long time before it ended in America. I heard the Spirit of God blowing through that ancient place, bringing a new kind of life. And I was deeply moved by this guy's preaching and the message he had. For me, it was an evolutionary moment, and it was a be influence, and he could only go so far. It also revealed to me, like what the work teaches, that love is important, but there also is a need for consciousness. And you'll listen to that sermon, you'll hear the call to love, but as work students, you also hear, and we must wake up, because we can be asleep and love. And so it is important to balance it out. But I just was so deeply blessed and moved by the power of his message and to see the glory of the African-American community come to England and bless them. It's an extraordinary experience for me. The power of the Holy Spirit does those sorts of things. That's a good example of what the Spirit is and does. The Holy Spirit is a big, big mystery, and I'd be the fool to sit up here and say that I understand, know, comprehend, or even can convey even this much of what the Holy Spirit is and does. The Holy Spirit, by its very nature, is spiritual and thus not physical, not material, not anything that we could point to, and yet moves in a mysterious way, as Bono says. She moves in a mysterious way. And the good old translators of the scripture passages, God bless them, but they all do us a disservice when they translate the Spirit masculine first person pronoun he. It's it. It's she. It's no gender, but it would be the best way to put it. That the Holy Spirit moves in a mysterious way, and she is among us and in us and through us. It really is one of the first revelations in terms of the Trinitarian revelation that Bernadette Roberts talks about, the recapitulation of those revelations, that the Holy Spirit is in us, that indwelling. It's the Hindu revelation, essentially, that God is within all. It's a really up-close and personal experience of revelation, and we can't really get it up here. So everything that we're going to share today and discover is really what you're going to experience, because I can talk about it, but what's most important is that you experience it and that I experience it, and that any church without the Holy Spirit is like a candle getting blown out. It's not fulfilling its purpose. Any church or individual that's not being filled with the Spirit of God day to day, moment by moment, year by year, is like a cup that's empty, not being utilized for its real purpose. So we can ponder what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, what it means to be anointed by the Holy Spirit, and I hope to do something of that this morning. First of all, Pentecost is for mystics. It's the feast for mystics. Pentecost is for contemplatives. It's truly the apex of the mystical liturgical moments. Now, Christmas, Easter, Ascension, they're all wonderful. But there's something about Pentecost that's really kin to mystics and contemplatives. And along those lines, it's a little plug for you to read what Thomas Keating says in The Mystery of Christ, which is his explanation of the spiritual contemplative dimension of the liturgy. If you've never read it, go buy the book, read the book, borrow the book, steal the book, whatever you need to do to read it. I'm not going to read this for you. There's so much richness here. But he has a way of conveying how these beautiful liturgical feasts that mark the Christian calendar open up from the contemplative dimension, and especially at Pentecost, the divine indwelling. Do read it if you get a chance. Many of you have read this before. Go back and read it again. It'll land in new ways, and it'll bless you. Today, just want to read to you a passage of Scripture that wasn't read, that Jen Jennifer read the scripture that's appointed for today in the liturgy, but this is really the event of the Pentecost recorded in the book of Acts. Just real briefly, give it a listen. You've probably heard this before, but see if you take it in a new way, in a contemplative way. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, like this. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. So just pause there. So here they're in a container, they're together, so there's something about being in a community. And then from the heaven, so to speak, from a higher influence, comes a force in the expression of a sound like a rush of violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. It's like when you're in a room with people and it just is tingling. You can feel something. And then something unique happened. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, on top of their head, resting on them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. And the story goes on from there. They think the disciples are drunk because they're speaking in all these different languages, languages that were known and understood. This was a feast day in the city of Jerusalem. There were thousands and thousands of people from all around the Mediterranean world speaking different languages. And apparently they heard their own language. They thought they were drunk. Peter, the apostle, stands up and starts to preach and explain what has happened. But the point here is that this is the birth of the Christian church, this day. This is when the church all of a sudden integrates at a spiritual level the teachings and the experience of Jesus in a personal way. It's like the lights get turned on in a way that they couldn't do themselves. And that's the essence of the spiritual journey. You cannot do it for yourself. You are turned on, tuned in, tuned up. You are activated by the Holy Spirit. And that place of activation in each of us is the same. It's our spirit. It's the spiritual dimension, that capacity that we have, that, I want to say, location in us that is the Spirit. But it's actually a movement, like a flow, like a river. We'll talk about that in a moment. But that in us that is spiritual connects with the Spirit. And it's this connection in us. It's so intimate and close, it almost seems like the Spirit is in us, that we're overtaken by the Spirit. And this is the confusion, because it feels like the Spirit is in us, that God's in us. And this is why some people feel that God is in them. It's a crazy thing to say, but it's so beautiful to experience. So this activated the Christian community in a whole new way. It's an evolutionary moment. And here's a couple reasons why it was evolutionary. In part, Pentecost is for anyone who wishes to experience a deeper life in God. For anyone who wishes to experience a deeper life in God. You know, for a long time in the nation of Israel, only certain people were given the experience of the Spirit of God. In fact, it was pretty much related to prophets and special people like kings. And they were anointed, so to speak, on their chakra, their crown chakra here, and sometimes symbolized by the anointing of oil. But it wasn't meant for everyone. But here comes along the event of Pentecost, which breaks open the door, symbolizing by the languages to all nations, saying, it's for everyone. No one is restricted to the power of the life of God now conveying in this new way that has been released in an evolutionary moment. The limitations are off the table. You just need to be willing to receive it, willing to live in it. So Pentecost reminds us that this gift of life is for each of us, for everyone. For this deeper life that we experience, you know, the Holy Spirit isn't new here in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit is related to the creative power, the life-giving power of God. The Ruah, Holy Spirit, the Ruah Spirit of God hovered over the chaos before God started forming the chaos into somethingness. That's the ancient Genesis chapter 1, that creation story. It's very similar in many different religious and different cultural traditions. But in the book of Genesis, the Holy Spirit seems to brood like a mist over the chaos, the formlessness and the void. And this spirit is a part of the creative process that is united to God's word when God says, let there be. So the spirit's there and the word is there, the intention, the intelligence, the ordering of the chaos. And this is the earliest Jewish creation story that we as a Christian community are built upon. And not only that life-giving spirit, that ordering of creation spirit, but the amazing, extraordinary gift of life that came to Mary. And Mary is the embodiment of that divine spirit. Remember, Scripture says that the Spirit overshadowed her and that she conceived by the Spirit of God. So it's a real good mystery here that the Holy Spirit is a part of the life-giving dimension of God, the source of life in each of us, and we can feel into that and connect with that to experience a deeper life, little by little by little. What does this deeper life look like? What does it look like for you? Do you have enough of this life, this spirit life? And when you feel in contact with it, when it touches you, don't you want more of it? I mean, isn't that why we're all here in this community? Because we like how we feel, like how we grow in contact with that life. And that life never ends. It just keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper. It's not an easy journey. It's a turbulent journey because that life is transforming this life. Now, you can stay on the outside of external religion and look at the life, study the life, call it by doctrinal names, that's that, and I understand that, and write books about it, and never let the life in. But this is an experiential community where we say, jump into the deep end of God's life and keep on going. And that life will change you, and it's changing many of us at this moment. It's changing many of us in this community because that life is being felt and lived and experienced. The power of the Spirit of God is life-giving. That's the main essence of what the Spirit does. It connects us to life in this life and conveys us to the next life, whatever that might be like. Because the breath, the Spirit of God, is so connected to our physical life, this embodiedness. And isn't it true that when we die, it is often referred to as giving up the last breath? And when Jesus died, he gave up his breath. This beautiful, this breath, this warmth, this life is related to the Holy Spirit. And it's that Spirit that God, in Genesis 2, breathes into man from the earth. So you get the clay in breath with the warmth and the life and the love of God. Now, of course, all these are great, wonderful images that try and convey the mystery of what it is that we are and what we're doing here on this planet. And you can't make it too tidy. You can't go back to these ancient stories and make them into doctrines. But you can dance with them. They indicate something. They point you to something. They awaken something in us. They do the best that B influences can do. I mean, can you do better than Genesis chapter 1? I mean, the Big Bang adds a glorious dimension to the story. It sets the planet Earth story into a bigger, bigger life story. But where did that bigger, bigger story start? You can see the mystery just gets pushed out farther. And we all just need to consent to that beautiful mystery that we're in this life, we're in this Spirit, and the Spirit is in us. Pentecost, Holy Spirit, is also a gift for anyone who wishes to grow in wisdom and understanding. Because the Holy Spirit is the activator of knowledge and wisdom and insight and seeing. You know, the word for contemplative in Greek is literally related to the word seeing, to see. The gift of contemplation was a deepened, holistic, unitive seeing that no longer was broken up by the divisions of life, the dualities that we overlay on it. Because this seeing arises from unitive mystical experiences, we get touched by that and we enter into the world and we no longer see an enemy, we're able to love an enemy. We no longer see as we used to see. We're more free. We are able to love more freely because we're not seeing so broken up by duality. Isn't that the case? Isn't that the case of what the grace of centering prayer does in our lives? It helps us to see ourselves. more clearly, more fully, more honestly. And isn't that the gift that we give to one another, to be honest, the scathing self-honesty that we realize that really it's just the same with us all when we have the courage to speak with unlocked hearts, that no one's pretending to be Superman or God or anything like that, some shiny person. We're all just humans filled with spirit, clay capable of soaring by the power of the Holy Spirit. And don't try and get that energy and that power. You can try, many people do. You can, to a certain extent, get shiny on yourself. There are means of doing that. There are ways of focusing our energy, our spirit, so that you rise up and become great or a super person. That's not what we're about. We're about a community going deeper and deeper and deeper into the humility of surrender, into the humility of letting go, so that we can be emptied to be filled by the Spirit. And that looks very psychological, frankly. It looks like learning how to forgive when you'd rather just hate. It looks like learning how to be generous when you'd rather just be fearful and greedy and keep it to yourself. I mean, it looks like 100 million things in day-to-day life. But most of all, it looks like learning how to see through the eyes of spirit, which crystallize in the gift of wisdom in each of us, so that you know and feel more clearly and cleanly, so that you sense more quickly the intuition of the Spirit, that indication, and you get the ping of the Spirit and guidance, direction, clarity. And thus you become a safe teacher. You become, your words become anointed with the love and the grace of the Spirit. And they do things, they move things, they activate in other people. I think I was watching a movie on Ram Dass as a 10th man school enrichment experience. And he said, someone said about Ram Dass that if you were around him, not only did he love God, but if you were around him, you started to love God. That he had that gift. He loved God so much that when you were around him, you loved God. And isn't that the thing that the Spirit does in us? Isn't that what we experience around people like Tim and Barbara, around Father Keating, around Bernadette, that we get around these bonfires of divine love, so full and overflowing with the Holy Spirit, and it's so attractive. And depending upon our state inwardly, if we're consumed with darkness, we might hate it. We might be revolted by it. I was doing a funeral one time as a Presbyterian wearing my clergy robe, and I walked in to do the funeral. And there was a mean-spirited man sitting right in the front row, probably a long-term alcoholic, just mean-spirited, smoking and drinking his whole life. And he looked at me and he flipped me the finger. And basically that said to me, screw you, minister. Because I represented the light. And that darkness, when we're so consumed by it, when we're so filled with it, when we're so incapable of confronting our own darkness, we give in to the darkness, and thus we run from the light. But it's this cracking open that is so needed, and it's so hard because it's humbling. You got to let go. And when you do, we all know it, that light gets in and just wants to love and heal us. So in my little immature way as a new young pastor, I looked at that man and I tried not to give him the finger back. It's true. But I tried not to get scared. I tried not to get scared. And it threw me off. But you know, I just stayed in my heart. And at the end of this service, I could sense that he had opened a little, or he had been opened a little. So you all have had experiences like that, I'm sure, where you've been around someone who's attracted to the light and also repelled by the light. And this huge battle's going on all the time in each of our lives and in this world. It doesn't mean anyone's bad or wrong. It just means these things are yet to be integrated, which we'll talk about in just a moment. And this powerful integration, this beautiful healing that is possible, is truly the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because the divine indwelling seeks to heal us, but as we all know, as we get into the silence, things must come up in order to come out. And what ends up coming up typically is not pretty at first. Now, in the beauty of the Hindu system, there's a type of yoga that you're all familiar with called Kundalini Yoga. And where Christianity can learn from Kundalini Yoga is in the dynamic of movement of physical energy in our body. Now, the Holy Spirit isn't, so to speak, our Kundalini energy, but it works with our physical embodied energy and integrates with it, can help flow in us and flow through us upward and outward. So here's a little bit of knowledge to convey about the Kundalini system. Some of you know this very well, some of you this will be new. Really, I didn't start integrating this into my life and thinking until I landed in this community 11 years ago. And through sitting with Tim and listening to him, reading the different books he threw upon us, I began to see the wisdom, and not only see it, experience it. As I had had some physical experiences along my journey that I couldn't understand or fit into my Christian experience, theologically, and now I can. So in the Kundalini system, the Kundalini is essentially the method. What rises is what they call Shakti energy, the Kundalini energy. Shakti is this Kundalini coiled serpent, so to speak. It's electrical energy, bottom line. It's physical electrical energy, somewhat related to magnetism. It's a big mystery, but that coiled serpent is the symbol at the base of our spine. And here are the different chakras or levels of which this Kundalini energy moves. This will be news to some and old to others. It begins at the root chakra, what is called the Muladhara. And this is the foundation, you might say, of our life. Deep energy, life-giving energy, supports our whole system. But it must move, and development moves upward to the Svadhisthana chakra, which is known as the sex center. And for many of us, that energy gets repressed down there, stuck down there, and acts out in different ways that are unhealthy, unloving, and self-destructive. But that energy must keep moving. It cannot get restricted or pressed down into Svadhisthana, sex center. It must move up to the Manipura, the Hara, in the Japanese tradition, this Manipura center. Then it moves up to the Anahata, the heart center, then the Vishuddha center, speaking our voice. That energy moves through our hearts up to our voice, to the Ajna center, which is this third eye, and then to the crown center, Sahasrara. So this is the Hindu yoga tradition of the Kundalini energy moving, and the importance of how Thomas Keating and others have integrated that system, its relationship to the levels of consciousness, and our expressions of our appetites, our behaviors, our moods, our emotions, and where things get stuck in us, and where we're still needing to grow and expand, is very important to integrate that with your own experiences in centering prayer. We can't go into that dimension of the Holy Spirit. The point I want to land on is that isn't it interesting that human physical electrical energy starts at the root chakra, at the tip of our spine, and Holy Spirit energy is symbolized always as anointing the crown chakra. So could it be that the Spirit of God and the Kundalini energy of human is really a double helix? The Spirit of God coming down and the energy physically integrating and moving up that Kundalini energy. Beautiful cycle. I'm not the first to have that idea. It's been conveyed in other places. But this idea of a double helix is very important up the spine, and it's also the beautiful symbol of medicine, the healing power of the Holy Spirit coming in, and the unleashing of our own physical capacity and energy into its fullness, all the way up to the thousand-petaled lotus, where the flourishing of what a human being is. Now, this is very practical, very, very practical, because I can remember times in my life where I didn't have this conceptual understanding. I had the physical experience of being so angry here and not knowing what this energy was. And it I had to go on acid reflux things. I had significant physiological issues. And then that energy started to move up here. Now, I didn't know that this was the Kundalini energy. All I had was, I was a young pastor, and it's like my throat is constricting. I'm honest, if you listen to sermons which have all been destroyed from 20 years ago, at times I was reading a manuscript, this is what I sounded like. God loves you, you know, is that kind of tightness? Yes, and the people left like droves. That's what God does to you, you know. It was this tightness in my throat. And I'm not kidding, I've had 4 endoscopies, upper GI endoscopies, because they thought something was wrong. They made something wrong by expanding that esophagus. That was all Kundalini energy. I didn't know it. I'm convinced of it. Then there's this other dimension of the Kundalini energy that many of you have experienced, kriyas, this movement of energy that releases from physical gestures or tics or other kinds of expressions. It's very normal, and it oftentimes accompanies the early years of some form of meditative practice, and it is not to be paid attention to. The wisdom of the tradition is do not activate the Kundalini on its own. Don't go seeking to make it rise. You know, don't aspire to that. There's nothing glorious about it. The healing and the integration will happen naturally in time. By the grace of God, the activation of the Holy Spirit, the flow, I trust, will continue to emerge and bring us all to the fullness of the kingdom of God. Now, as this relates to healing and the level of unconsciousness that we all are dealing with in the darkness, I just want to conclude with Kes Frey's beautiful book on the power of centering prayer. He calls it The Human Ground and Spiritual Ground, Paradise Lost and Found. But really, it's a book on the psychological and theoretical dimension of Thomas Keating's ideas of the healing of the unconscious and the divine therapy. It's an extraordinary, precise book that helps us articulate what Keating is saying in his conceptual background of centering prayer as a divine therapy. And this guy has some big-time psychological knowledge. And just bear with this reading. It's not very long, just a page, and I think you'll be benefited by it. There are forces active in our soul or spirit, unconscious forces beyond our control, that prevent us from always being truthful and loving. Is that true for anyone? In this simple fact lies our true challenge and humble understanding that we need divine help to overcome our false self and obstacles. We need divine help. The Kundalini can't do it on its own. It's another way of saying that. What opposes us to tenaciously is the unconscious motivation of our false self in its shadow aspect. The shadow in depth psychology is a Jungian concept. It's a kind of anti-self, so far as our conscious self's image is concerned, composed of those parts of the self we've rejected because they're repulsive and contradict our conscious self-image. So that rejection and repression can happen at any one of these stages. We've rejected these unacceptable parts of ourself from consciousness, disowned and repressed them into unconsciousness, and are generally in denial about them. These rejected shadow parts belong to our wounded self. Their re-entering consciousness typically engenders fear and a re-experiencing of our wounds, which is why centering prayer is so gentle. It just so gently creates that space for grace that unloads those wounds and those traumas over a lifetime. Hence, continuing to reject and deny our wounds only serves to perpetuate them, along with the false self happiness programs and afflictive emotions that are related to them. These unconscious wounds are our pending unresolved issues, experiences, and relationships, stored as knots in the energy centers or chakras of our instinctual needs. Split off from consciousness, our shadow self lives a subterranean life and is often at odds with conscience and our conscious desires. It's this rejected shadow in us that inclines toward negativity, evil, and the undermining of our better intentions and well-being. All you have to do is have a little alcohol or perhaps some drugs, and that shadow side sometimes shows itself, almost a humiliating effect in relationships. Integrating the shadow of dark side of our personality is a prerequisite for negotiating the great identity shift from fallen human ground into resurrected Pentecostal life. Integrating this dark side means admitting it back into consciousness, listening to it in humility and compassion, learning from it, accepting it as is, reconciling it by acknowledging its legitimate feelings and needs, and then lovingly welcoming its energy and presence into the life of our conscious self. Love heals the shadow. Light heals the shadow. Only then will it change and no longer oppose us, ensnare us, and so beset us. Thank you, Cass Frey. Good wisdom. So on Pentecost Sunday, this is a divine hospital. We are part of the divine healing. I need the divine healing. I need it because the deeper the spirit goes, the more subtle and fine is the unconscious, repressed self that I'm not even aware of, but that comes out. And so early on in the spiritual journey, the low-hanging fruit gets plucked. But as we grow and develop, we all know this, it starts peeling at finer and finer levels. Do not despair. This is normal. It gets worse before it gets better. That's the nature of the process. Tim said he was amazed anyone ever came. But here's the truth. On Pentecost, look up. Write a Pentecost prayer for your life, for your joy, for your freedom. The church and Christians, people all around the world for centuries have been writing these kinds of prayers. It just goes simply like this. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Anoint me with your light. Heal me with your power. Fill me with your love that I might see in new ways, know in new ways, understand in new ways, and love with greater freedom. Come, Holy Spirit, upon me. Fill me with your energy. Fill me with your light. Fill me with my love, with your love. And activate every aspect of my possibility for your glory and my joy. That's a beautiful prayer. I encourage you to write your own, like an anthem of an affirmation over your life. Take it in. Even if you're crying and weeping, take it in and express it. And know that this power is real. It's not electricity. It's not a force. It's personal. It's the divine presence and love scaled down to this level of existence on planet Earth in the way that we can just begin to receive it. It's the personal fullness of divine love imprinted with the presence of Jesus. Like our fiber optic cables are imprinted with information. In the most profound way, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus. And so when you have the Holy Spirit, you have Almighty God. When you have the Holy Spirit, you have the living Jesus Christ. When you have the Holy Spirit, you have everything. It's imprinted in that light. It's no longer the form of Jesus, but it's the imprinted love, power, light of the world that Jesus was and wants us to become. Amen. Oh, let's stand and give our hearts to song.
We are the branches, we will bear fruit. rooted in you. You are the vine, we are the branches, together we bear fruit. You are the vine, we are the branches, we will bear fruit. Rooted in you, you are the vine, we are the branches, together we bear fruit. Loving each other, loving you, this is the greatest commandment. This is our joy. You are the vine, we are the branches, we will bear fruit. Rooted in you, you are the vine, we are the branches, together we bear fruit. You are the vine, we are the branches, we will bear fruit. Rooted in you, you are the vine, we are the branches, together we bear fruit. Loving each other, is the greatest commandment. This is our joy. You are the vine, we are the branches, we will bear fruit. Rooted in you, you are the vine, we are the branches, together we bear fruit. You are the vine, we are the branches, we will bear fruit. Rooted in you, you are the vine, we are the branches, together we bear fruit. Loving each other, loving you, this is the greatest commandment. This is our joy. You are the vine, we are the branches, we will bear fruit. Rooted in you, you are the vine, we are the branches, together we bear fruit. You are the vine, we are the branches, we will bear fruit.
Please be seated. Just scoot over a little more to the right. These beloveds have been on a journey for the last month with Mary Ann in the baptism class. And these beloveds had planned to be baptized today in the river in Pflugerville, but we will postpone that, reschedule it. But we wanted to offer the opportunity to make this a community experience for you to share in their joy and their life passage of this significant moment. Baptism is a physical symbol of spiritual integration. The waters represent in many things the unconscious being lifted up from the unconscious into the light. They represent cleansing and healing. They represent life. So the power of baptism as a symbol has been a deep part of the Christian process of initiation and formation. Even Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and it began his ministry. He was anointed by the Spirit right after that baptism, and then he began his ministry. So who knows what might happen after baptism. How many of you in this room have been baptized? Most everyone. If you haven't, I really encourage you to explore it. We do this class every year. So what I'd like to do is just invite everyone to stand and stretch out your hands toward these beloveds. And we're just going to offer a prayer of blessing on their lives upon their baptism. We aim to have baptism probably on June 3rd, but that's still not confirmed. But let's just join in sending our deepest energy of love to these ones in the silence. Holy Spirit of God, we thank you for each of the journeys that is represented by each of these lives. And we ask that their ongoing formation in Christ would be activated in an extraordinary way through their baptism, that your life would come to its fullest expression, that you would bless their consent and trust in you and fill them with your love, light, and life. We thank you for their friendship and their accompaniment in this community, and how they enhance us and make us stronger together. We pray for the little children, the kids who will be baptized as well, who are in class at this moment, who also received their first communion. May they experience the touch of your divine love. We wish this as a community, together in this moment. May it be so. Amen. You may be seated. This is the time in our service when we take our tithes and offerings and gifts into our hands and remember the truth that God's love has always met and will always meet all our needs. Therefore, I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's remember this truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. We are so grateful for the blessing of provision and flow in each of our lives. Sometimes it's not as much as we had hoped or needed or wanted. But we know you are always on our side, working for our best good and transformation. So we trust you in the fullness and in the lack. We pray for those in our community and in our state who are grieving, wounded, in the need of the touch of your Spirit. May this moment of prayer and dedication in some way bless them. We dedicate these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives over the lie of separation, and our useless acting out from fear. We pray this in Christ. Amen.
So let us now rest in the silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives. Please join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
For many of us, this is the living Pentecost. The Eucharist is the living Pentecost. Spiritualized matter entering into us and changing us from the inside out. May it be so. Let us pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray with that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
You are the bread of life.
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy might be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude our worship with song. Really grateful for your presence here this morning, and a special word of blessing to our four First Communion children today. There are six total, but only four here this morning. But we wanted to recognize that happened, because it would have happened this afternoon for them. So we just trust you felt Christ's presence. May the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the peace, power, and presence of the Spirit anoint each of us today more and more. Amen.